It was a rambling, meandering, sort of almost out of control mess, really, unfortunately. There was lots of little gems there, but they'd sort of been overgrown and lost in the whole scheme of things. We had bougainvillea that was rampantly out of control, but you could see through it. There was lots of native plants that had been there, and there were some exotic plants that had been brought in, and it was very easy to see that there's a foundation for a garden for if someone came in with a bit of vision and a bit of an idea to how to bring it all together.
So a big transformation in the textures, the colours, and the density of the garden.
In lots of different ways. One of the things was we tried to start bringing themes into the gardens, where we've got different areas such as fruit garden walks, where we go through and we've got we've purposely brought in a range of tropical fruiting plants, things like carambolas and or star fruit as they're called, lots of bananas, pawpaws, coconuts, all those very common things that people don't get to actually see too often. But then we actually brought in a few areas that were more display areas where we showed off, like the crotons. We've got something like 13 or 14 different crotons in the garden, 16 different frangipanis, and so we tried to bring them out so people could actually see them. We wanted people to actually touch, taste, feel, and smell the garden, and that's the big thing that we're actually promoting here. We want people to look at it and not just see a mass of colour, but actually get in and experience the garden as part of being in the Kimberley.
Chris Hill, bringing you into the conversation now. At first glance, this is a tropical garden with lots of tropical exotics, but it is much more than that, and the site itself is in a very unique position in Broome. Just put it into context for us.
Well, that's very true. There are a lot of lovely tropical plants out here, bananas, frangipanis, etc., crotons. But there's also a lot of established, quite large native trees that were already existing on the block. And so we've been able to feature those and build around them. And it's a nice mix of big manga trees and lots of different types of eucalyptus, etc., mixed in with the palms and things like that. So yeah, it's a unique area down near the port here. It's quite sheltered, you know, with the dunes at the back, which helps a lot. And I think that the water table is quite high here, so that helps for the size of some of the existing plants, you know.
We're standing in a beautifully shady part of the garden, but there is a sunny lawn close by, and above us are ripening hands of huge bananas. Chris is the only one tall enough amongst us three to even contemplate reaching them. And the big thing I notice is the sound that the wind makes through the leaves, a gentle sway through the palms and the birds. Over here, what have we got?
We've got some flaming torch heliconias and also some strawberry and cream heliconias. They're a lovely tropical type flowering plant, and this wet season they've been absolutely magnificent in the way they've just been flowering throughout the whole season and just throwing up more flowers. They do love obviously a good feed from of cow poo or blood and bone on a regular basis.
And we're coming around another corner, and something I also notice about this garden is the lovely winding, curving paths. Not all of the garden is revealed at once, and it feels like there's lots of little rooms or secrets around each corner, Chris.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's part of the charm of the place, and, you know, tourists do get lost out here, I have to say, and including the gardeners and the staff, because there's so many paths and winding, areas.
In fact, we've just come around one of these corners out into sunshine, and it's a beautiful vista that is unfolded before us. The lawn I'm impressed with, because it's a challenge to get nice lawn in shady gardens. But at the end of the lawn, layers of yellow and green with crotons. We've got cordylines, bananas, different palm trees. There's some decorative pots and seats to sit on. But there's also a blend of the silvery hakeas, I'm assuming.
It's coming to flower now, you can see.
And they offer a wonderful sculptural element along with the frangipani branches behind.
Yes, and this side we've got a mixture of jiggle, peachwood and the bush currant, the gruia, which was pretty full on this year because of all the rain that we had. And just shows that you can successfully have natives and exotics in your garden in Broome.
Is it a water-hungry garden? Because I see a lot of plants here that enjoy a good drink and flourish better under a lot of water. Tell us about how you manage that fine line between using water well and getting the garden to flourish, but not wasting it or giving them too much.
Well, I think we've always been pretty big on mulching out here, and this year especially we've really got stuck into mulching. And after the big wet that we had, I think we had the retic turned off for something like 3 months, Mike, wasn't it? It wasn't on for one day, you know. We had that regular rain, And now we've been mulching it very hard, so we're hoping all the water's been held in.
Oh, and we've just come across a huge hand of bananas right here on the pathway. Michael's plucking off.
It's a ladyfinger, a lovely ladyfinger banana. It's perfectly ripe right now.
Michael's just fed me the banana. A nice one. I can't ask any more questions.
We've got huge traveller's palms in front of us and a layer of crotons. I like the colour and the texture. Some are narrow-leaved, some are bright yellow spots, some are dark and red, some are stripy yellow. Just goes to show the huge colour variation that you can get in all the different varieties.
With having a number of different gardeners over the year, every person has brought a little bit of a different aspect to the garden and left their own little bit of the garden behind. And that's the thing that adds to it and just builds on it. And it makes it more interesting for me because as the garden constantly evolves, we try and look at what we were trying to create there, what we were trying to preserve, and how can we actually build on that and enhance it. One of the things that we're doing with the Open Garden Scheme is the route we're following at the moment is loosely the route we'll take people through on Saturday. Both Chris and I have gone through and we've actually looked at the garden and we've worked out what do we want to show to people to give them a real taste and feel of the garden.